You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet, and story is
everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You just been listening to the Hot Texas Swing Band doing their rendition of Hot Texas.
And it's Jim's birthday, and to celebrate, we have two guests tonight. Come on, Henry Park, come on in.
Hey.
Hey, here's Henry Park.
How you doing? Happy birthday, Jim.
Thanks, Henry.
And another longtime friend is waiting in the wings, and here she is. Hello, Margaret Brownlee, also known as Kate Damon. Welcome.
Hi, Kate.
We are
happy birthday, Jim.
Thank you.
We are so happy to have a full house tonight. And Kate and Henry are joining us from kind of the LA area, where Henry told us there was a hailstorm not long ago. And out where Kate is, there's been some wind and different things. So we may be on for a wild ride tonight, but what could be better than that?
Absolutely.
So let's see, Henry, I did just say, but tell us where you're joining us from.
Yes, I'm for once joining you from my home in Los Angeles, California.
Yes.
Very good.
Allie, where Kate, we have hailstorms.
Yeah, where you have hailstorms. And Kate, where are you tonight?
Simi Valley, California, not too far from Henry, I guess.
Yeah. Amen. Well, we have known both of you, I think, since about 2009.
Right. The Buggaroo Bookshop.
At the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival.
That's right.
And Kate, who now writes under the name Kate, but we'll get to that shortly. When we met her, she was writing under her real name. She was writing under Margaret Brownlee. And I think this might have been one of the first couple books, Margaret, that we met you through, perhaps.
Yeah, right. Well, quite a while ago, I published that one, but most of my books were published under that Margaret Brownlee. Yeah,
this is
the first one under Kate Damon. Yeah.
Yes. And we'll get to that in a moment. So if we call you Margaret, it's because we've known and loved you as Margaret for so long. We're having a little hard time getting the new name in there. But we'll go ahead and start with Henry. Henry is always with us the first Thursday of every month, and he gives us his newest, what's going on in the world of Western film and TV. Henry, take it away.
Thank you. Well, now, first off, I'm sure everyone's heard the sad news of the death of actor Val Kilmer at just 65. Mm-hmm. It was a tremendous talent, unforgettable as Doc Holliday in Tombstone. I don't know if most fans realize that Tombstone was not his first Western lead. In 1989, he played the title character in Billy the Kid, a Ted Turner-produced TV Western that was scripted by Gore Vidal, based on his own novel, The Left-Handed Gun, the one Paul Newman starred in 1958. You can find the whole movie on YouTube. And he also starred with Sam Shepard and Graham Greene in the contemporary Western Thunderheart. Huh. Now, did anyone notice that a new contemporary Western opened in theaters last Friday?
No.
I know it's in Burbank. I don't know where else. But Day of Reckoning is about a sheriff and a U.S. marshal who are holding a wily female outlaw without much backup, and her husband is coming for her. The sheriff is Zach Roaring, from The Vampire Diaries. The Marshal is Billy Zane from Titanic and Tombstone.
Wow.
The Outlaw is Kara Jade Myers, who has a pivotal role in Killers of the Flower Moon. Her husband is played by Scott Adkins, and Trace Adkins is also in it. So my first thought was, I didn't know Trace's son acted. But it turns out he's a British movie villain and no relation, but they spell it the same way.
That's fun.
There's a pre-Civil War Western currently in post-production called Killing Faith about a freed slave, DeWanda Wise from The Harder They Fall, gives birth to a white baby who kills everything she touches. They're trying to get her to a faith healer. The cast includes Joanna Cassidy, Bill Pullman from Wyatt Earp and Lefty mm-hmm. Brown, Guy Pearce from the wonderful Australian Western, The Proposition, and ace villain Raul Max Trujillo, who's currently scaring everyone in Dark Winds.
Oh.
Now, Quiver Distribution has acquired North American rights to a new Western, Long Shadows, starring Dermot Mulroney from Young Guns, Jacqueline Bisset in what I think is her first Western, great Western villain Chris Mulkey. It's co-written and directed by William Shockley, a name you might not recognize, but you'd know him if you saw him. He starred on Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, as the long-haired, disreputable bartender.
Oh. Mm.
You remember him, right?
Yeah.
And he's made quite a career for himself making Westerns as a writer and director, and still acting in them. Now, speaking of Young Guns, I have no details yet, but it's been confirmed by writer John Fusco and director and star Emilio Estevez that they'll soon be headed back to New Mexico to shoot Young Guns 3.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and actor-director-writer Ethan Hawke is developing a remake of the great Gregory Peck, Henry King Western, The Gunfighter, at 20th Century Studios. Apparently, they've dropped Fox from the studio name.
Interesting.
Mm.
Now, from Thursday, April 24th through Sunday, April 27th, TCM's Hollywood Classic Film Festival will be taking place around the Chinese, Egyptian, and other theaters in L.A., of particular interest to Western fans. On Friday, they're showing 1940s Mark of Zorro with Tyrone Power. On Saturday, they're premiere a restoration of 1958's Gunman's Walk, introduced by Keith Carradine. Also, 1957's Gunfight at the OK Corral will be presented in the main Chinese theater. And Sunday morning, they have the musical Oklahoma, starring Gordon McRae and Shirley Jones, and discussed by Shirley's son, Sean Cassidy.
Oh, that would be fun.
Well, I've never seen him. I've seen Keith Carradine come to these events a lot, which is a great supporter, but I think it's Sean Cassidy's first time. Now, please check out the current True West featuring my interview with Chris Christopherson, and I'll be posting a new Henry's Western Roundup this weekend featuring my interview with the queen of martial arts films, Cynthia Rothrock, was produced and is starring in her first Western, Black Creek, coming out early this summer. And you can read all about this and so much more at henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
And he's also an author. What's the name of your book?
Thank you.
Greatest Westerns ever made and the people who made them. We are going to take a very short break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors. If you're a writer, find out what Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison can do for you. And when we come back, we'll be chatting in great detail with Kate Damon about her latest book, Jury Duty is Murder. So take a listen to Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. We'll be right back. Rendezvous with a Writer is sponsored by Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, your author publicity and book marketing team. Experienced, trusted, effective. Contact them today at bluecottageagency.com.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. Special guests tonight, Henry C. Park and Kate Damon. And we're going to be talking to Kate here shortly. So let me read a bio, though. Kate Damon is also known as author Margaret Brownlee. When Kate Damon is not writing, she and her husband enjoy spending time with family and friends, raising monarch butterflies, and playing a wicked game of bridge. Writing as Margaret Brownlee, she published 50 books and is a New York Times bestselling author. Known for her memorable characters and humor, she is a two-time Romance Writers of America Rita finalist and has written for a daytime TV soap. Jury Duty is Murder is her first mystery. Welcome, Margaret.
Oh, we're so happy to have you, Margaret.
Well, and I say it's a first mystery. All of my Westerns have a little bit of mystery in them. So there is a little bit of mystery in all my Westerns, but this is my first real mystery.
Yeah. And Henry, we all have read it. Henry, would you want to say a little something about this book before we get into it? What's been your impression so far?
Oh, well, I've found it very enjoyable. I'm so inarticulate. What I was trying to say is it's a very, very clever premise. It's got a very, you have a very breezy style. It just pulls you along like mad. I love that each chapter is from a different point of view. It's a very interesting thing to be able to keep seeing the story from different characters as you go along. I was curious, have you ever served on a jury?
Yes. I thank you for your kind comments. I appreciate that. I had problems. My editor didn't think writing from different points of view was a good idea, but I persisted. So anyway, I'm glad that you liked that.
Yeah. Yes. And we did too. And it was, we got to know those characters on there. You just know how to write characters, Kate. You just know how to write them. And they all, Henry, were you like us too, where you're riveted and then all of a sudden you're laughing because the way she describes the situation they find themselves in, or the one-liners that they say, or the, and because you haven't totally finished it, I don't want to bring up some scenes that we found particularly hysterical, because you may not have gotten there yet. But, you're puzzled, you're trying to figure it out, and then they do something just crazy, and then you're laughing. So, go ahead, Jim.
Henry asked if you served on the jury, and you said you had. What kind of case were you involved in? And did you name all your jurors like you did here in the book?
Well, actually, I wasn't involved in a case, but I have friends that were. And, like I think I told you before, I go away for a week. I'm back. I'm behind 3 weeks when I come back. And I couldn't imagine, if you're sequestered for weeks and months, what does that do to your life? And it messed up their careers, their relationships. So it really does make a difference to your life when you come back, and you never hear about that.
Right. So was there a particular trial that inspired, got you thinking along the way that you're thinking right now? Was there a trial where you said, what about those jurors that are sequestered for so long?
Yes, right. Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Plus, I also like the idea of people that don't like each other. These jurors did not like each other while they were sequestered. Mm. Having been forced to work together for the good, actually, because, they have to find out who's trying to kill them off. And I think it's more of a relationship book than anything. And that's what that pushes the narrative, is the relationship between the characters. Yes. And how they change and, go from complete dislike to something kind of special, I think.
Yeah. So you mentioned a moment ago a little bit about sort of what the premise is. And kind of one of the opening scenes as you gather, some of the jurors kind of gather together. Just tell us a little bit, and Henry said, and it's such an interesting sort of premise. Tell us a little bit just about sort of the storyline.
Well, the story that they all go back, back to their lives, and everybody's life is a mess because one of the characters, Cece, who's the pole dancer and kind of the one that runs the show, I think, she loses her job because now people know her and it could be dangerous in her kind of work. So she loses her job. And, Alex, he loses his girlfriend. He loses his job, too. And of course, we have, Helen, who is an older person, 72 years old. They call her school mom. And her family thinks she's kind of crazy. And they want to put her in a, assisted living, So so they all have to deal with their personal problems. And then this other big problem comes along, which is somebody's killing off the jurors. So, now they really have a problem.
Yeah. So these were jurors in a murder trial and they convict.
Yes.
And you also.
They convicted.
Yes, they convict the person on trial. And yet, as the book evolves, we kind of learn that they weren't fast at that. And there was some, I don't know, could he be, what about that timeline and this and that? So you also open that door to maybe that guy could be innocent. And then Henry, as they start to kill him off, did you think of something like, 10 Little Indians? Or I thought, oh, my gosh, is there going to be anybody alive at the end of this book?
Yeah. It's funny because I was on a jury a few years ago, and it was not a murder, but it was a wrongful death. And it was very interesting. Your book really reminds me of it, the experience, because working intensely with a bunch of people that you have nothing in common with. I made one close friend and, the rest of us just sort of tolerated each other. And as soon as the trial was over, I never had any contact again. Even the guy that became a good friend, within like 48 hours, there was nothing. I sent him a Facebook greeting one time on his birthday. And that was it. So they could all have been bumped off by now, and I would have no idea.
Years ago, I was on a jury trial for about 3 weeks. Now, we were not sequestered overnight or anything. We could go home. We had obviously some limits on what we could read and couldn't read. But what I found was interesting in the courtroom situation and outside the courtroom, you had lunch with the defendants. You were having lunch with their friends and family. You were in a restaurant with them. Some of those guys looked pretty scary. So, can understand maybe how witnesses can get intimidated, or even jury members intimidated, because you're right next to the people that'll be on trial.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, I never quite expected that.
Yeah. We're going to take another.
Well, that's true.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yes, it is true. I mean, they're, like I said, they're like, and the things that maybe seem minor before you go in become larger, because you haven't been able to deal with your problems. So anyway, I thought that was, I always thought that was an interesting aspect of jury duty.
Yeah. We're going to step away for another short break and hear from another of our sponsors, which is our business, outwestshop.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more in depth about this story and then a little bit about more on the characters. So don't go away, and we'll be right back.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back to Ronnie with the Writer, our special guest, Henry C. Park and Kate Damon. And we're talking right now with Kate about her new book, Jury Duty is Murder. And where were we?
And I'm noticing we have a lot of pink slips, post-it notes in here, Kate, because these were all pages with really funny things that happened. We wanted to go back and reread. So talking about humor, you do have a gift. And it was true when you wrote as Margaret Brownlee too. You just have a gift. Does it just flow for you, Kate? Or do you write something and say, oh, that's way too serious, I got to go in there and put in a one-liner, or, you know, or does it just, it just flows? How does that humor come about?
Yes, well, it just kind of flows. I know this sounds crazy, but all I really need for a book is the opening sentence. Once I have the opening sentence, I'm good to go. And a friend of mine was so shocked that I, you know, wrote that way. She sat me down and made me write an outline of a book. And I did it. But then I didn't want to write the book because I already knew how it was going to end. So, you know, so why write the book, right? So I just sit down and it just kind of flows. And the characters, if the characters aren't talking to me, I have a problem. But if the characters start talking to me, then it pretty much takes care of itself.
Yeah. Do you have a question, Jim?
Well, I assume you did a little research here, because one of your characters is an exotic dancer.
Yeah.
And I'm looking here, and there's a lot of moves on a pole, you know, which I hadn't heard of. We got like full moon, hip hold, tuck, one-handed spin, and a grip handspring.
Yeah, so...
how did you find out about all those things?
So are you a secret pole dancer, Kate?
I didn't quite get all that, but yeah, there's a lot of research that goes in every book, right? And I had two things. This might come as a shock to you, but I had nothing. I didn't know anything about pole dancing before I wrote the book. So that took quite a bit of research, you know. And I have to give those girls credit because it takes a lot of strength and flexibility and all kind. I mean, they really work hard. So I kind of respect them for that. And the other thing is, you know, I have a scene in there for the freezer. I wanted to commit murder in a freezer. And so I have a son-in-law who's an executive chef. And so I called him and told him what I wanted to do. And he says, no, you can't do that because freezers have a safety lock inside. So no one can get stuck in there. So I thought, oh, that won't work. So what do I do? So he told me kind of how to work out the scene so that, you know, it's more realistic. But I didn't know about the safety locks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's all that research, you know. And then, of course, the other problem I came at is Cece, the way she dresses.
Yeah.
And when you're on trial.
Yeah, hot.
So I kind of had to work in that, you know, slowly she started going into her normal thing. So there's always a lot of research, as you know. And I think, you know, I write mostly Westerns. So I had to remember that when they were going anywhere, they didn't get on a horse, they got in a car. So you know, that's a thing. So Yeah.
Yeah, because there are several cars. Yeah, cars play, do play a role in this story. Henry, do you have another observation or insight you'd love to share?
Well, I have a question, because I know you've been very successful with your Western romances. And I do think that, if I have heard correctly, the best-selling Westerns as a group are romance Westerns. So you're really in that sweet spot. Now, wondering what made you want to do something so different?
The only explanation I have was I had a very dark time in my life. I lost my husband. He passed away from cancer, and just as COVID hit. So I was kind of, so I guess my thoughts turned to murder rather than romance, if you will. I don't know. But so at that time, I pulled out the story that I kind of had started years ago. And I thought, well, it's kind of different, and that I wasn't feeling very romantic at the time. And, so I started working on that. And that's the only explanation I can think about, being so different, because I did go through that very dark period. But I have since remarried. I found I shocked my family by meeting somebody online. So if you ever want to shock your family. And so my thoughts are now turning more to romance, I think,
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our one last break to step away and tell you about some of the places that you can find the books, both Henry's book and Kate's book, Jury Duty is Murder, and Henry Parks, The Greatest Westerns Ever Made, and The People Who Made Them. Just find them on our Out West Shop affiliate page of bookshop.org. Take a listen, and then we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little more about characters. Don't go away. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Kate Damon, and we're talking about this book, Jury Duty is Murder. We have a couple of thoughts here about plot-driven or character-driven. What do you think is more important?
Plot-driven or
character-driven? Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We know there's a little delay.
Oh, okay. Anyway, you can buy the book, at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, wherever,
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I appreciate your comments.
Do you, when you're writing, Kate, are you thinking characters more than plot, or is it plot and then the characters that move the plot? Which way?
No, it's characters. It's definitely characters.
Yeah. So I know you talked about. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's the characters actually are the ones that give me the story, and I'd have no idea where it's going when I start. But it's just characters. I don't even know what the plot's going to be, but it is characters. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Well, you've mentioned a couple of characters so far, but tell us a little bit about juror number 7. Goes by the nickname Reporter, but his real name is Alex. He is a hoot. Tell us about Alex.
Well, Alex, is an actor. He's kind of an interesting character. He's an actor and a writer, and he's all over the board. And one of the characters, Helen, I think came up with a good explanation when she said, you know, that he was grown up in foster homes. And so he kind of grew up not trusting anyone, you know, when you're moving from foster home to foster home. And so her take was that that's why he's all over the board. He hasn't settled on one thing because he doesn't trust it. So there was quite a lot of growth in Alex. Yeah, he's an interesting character.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one that lives in the garage.
The garage.
He lives in the garage.
You know, like you say in the book, there must be 45 code violations for somebody to live in a garage.
Yeah, he lives in a garage. It's with a funny landlady, is right.
The
landlord lady is a little bit of a key to the story. We kind of don't pay much attention to her, but she kind of really lets out who the problem guy is.
Yeah. She's a fortune teller. So, yeah. another character that we didn't mention yet is juror number 9. Shu is his nickname. Harold is his real name. Tell us a little bit about Shu.
Yes. Yeah. You know, he's only got his hands full because, you know, the first day home from the juror, the press person goes through his house, drives through his house in a car. So he's got the house as a mess. His hardware store is going bankrupt. And his marriage is on the outs. So he's got his hands full, Sue. And he's also kind of insecure, which is always why he's looking down at his shoe, which is how he got that nickname. But I think we see a lot of growth in Shu as the story progresses. And I think he does find his way in, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, another key character is Helen, which his nickname is Skumarm. I think your rendition in there of people going crazy on cell phones and not paying any attention to anybody, like this. Will you talk about that a little bit? Excessive cell phone use?
Yeah, I know. Well, I had some fun with the cell phones because, you know, Helen, of course, didn't have a cell phone in the beginning, and she had to take class to learn how to use it. You know, she was kind of... behind the times. So yeah, that was interesting, you know, to work that in there.
Yeah. And she didn't really warm up to Cece very well, but they do develop a very kind of a special relationship, don't they? It's kind of fun to watch that relationship.
Well, I think, like I said, I think the book really is about relationships and how, you know, of course, romances are too. I mean, I always like to have a man and a woman, and they're out with each other, and eventually they fall in love. You know, that's the old romance thing.
Right.
But I think in this book, that was the fun part, is getting these people that have, you know, they just don't like each other at all, and gradually pull them together till they become, you know, very special friends. And I think Helen and Cece were the ones that, you know, really had the widest thing that they didn't like each other.
Yes.
Because they had nothing in common. They had nothing in common, you know. So.
No, and Cece drives fast and swears a lot, and Helen drives real slow.
Everybody's swearing at her.
I know they all had their thing with the cars. That was always a problem. You know, and of course Helen, being so slow, that's why she didn't agree with the verdict, because she couldn't figure out how he could, you know, get one place to the other. But it's because she drives so slow.
Yeah.
We have a detective there. It sounds like he's not exactly the perfect detective. He's not somebody I see on Bluebirds. You want to describe this guy?
Isles, or, you know, Detective Kinkwell, who goes by Skinny Legs. Yeah, tell us about him.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was there a question there? I'm sorry.
Oh, I just, the detective, you know, when they go and they get a meeting with a detective to let him know what they're thinking is going on.
Oh, yes.
You know, but your description of him, and they nickname him Skinny Legs.
Well, of course, and you can't blame the detective for not, you know, I mean, he just thought they were all accidents. So he didn't really believe, you know, what they were trying to tell him. So, but yeah, he was kind of an interesting character.
Yeah. 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 Henry, have you gotten too much? He's probably been in the book a few times now for you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's that.
Yeah,
he's just a funny. Screen, he would just be a comedian to watch on screen.
Yeah, and of course, when their lives start coming together, then they find out they can't leave town because of the you know, they're now suspects. So. So everything was working against them.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm kind of looking at time. We got a little bit of a late start, but we definitely want to end on time. So let's see. Henry, where can people find you and get to you? And
oh, yes.
Yeah.
People can find me, of course, at my blog, Henry's Western Roundup, which is Henry's Western Roundup.blogspot.com. And on the Henry's Western Roundup Facebook page. And I wish I could say I am doing all sorts of events. I've got some things coming up, but nothing is nailed down into dates. So I'm going to have to postpone plugging anything, really.
Yeah. And I will, because we won't see you again now till May 1st.
Right.
But Ann Hillerman joins us on May 1st, and it's partly because she really wanted to have an opportunity to have you on to talk about Dark Winds. Her newest book releases, I didn't bring it to the camera, but her newest book just releases April 22nd. So we're very excited always to have you with us. But the next show to have you on with Ann Hillerman, I think it's going to be a really fun time. So, and Mark, Kate, where can people find you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and, you know, Twitter, the works. So you can find me all over. Yeah.
Okay.
It was nice seeing you again, Henry.
Great to see you again, Kate. It's been quite a while. Or Margaret. Yes.
I know. It's like we're going to have to come.
Twin.
She'll have to be like Mar-Kate. We'll have to combine the two names.
Yeah,
boat, I think.
Well, first, what are you working on next, Kate?
Yeah,
Margaret.
Well, my editor wants me to write a follow up of this book, and I might do that, or I might go back to romance. I haven't really made a decision yet. So, like I said, I'm newlywed, so I've been, you know. try to get that organized.
Sure.
And that. So so I don't know. I have all kinds of different ways I can go. So
yeah.
Could I throw
I was going to see how this book worked out before I committed to another.
Absolutely, you know. Henry, jump in.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was curious. I thought it was such an interesting choice that your book, of course, is all about the results of a trial and how it affects the jurors. And normally the obvious thing would be to have the book begin with the trial and see the whole, you know, that whole thing happen and then follow what happens to the jurors. And I thought it was a really interesting choice to begin at the end of the trial. And I was just wondering, did you start writing about it, including the trial, and then switch order? Or, you know, how did you come to that decision?
That's a great question.
It never occurred to me to start during the trial because it just never occurred to me. Like I said, I was interested in what was going to happen to the jurors after the trial. I mean, I didn't even know it was going to be a murder mystery until I got into the book. So, yeah, so I was just kind of dabbling, you know, what's going to happen to these characters? So that's why it starts after the trial. But it's an interesting observation anyway. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Jim has a quote from the book.
Yeah, one of our characters, we kind of like this guy. The guy that lives in the garage. This is our character, Alex. Now, Alex is an aspiring writer and actor. And he's not getting anywhere too quick with either one of these programs. But he comes back to his, you know, he's having a conversation with himself. He comes back to the garage, back to his apartment. And he says, this week has produced 3 email and 6 form letter rejections on my book. The closest I got to a personal note from an editor was a coffee stain. For some reason, that stain made me feel better. I have visions of a big machine scooping up manuscripts sent in by aspiring writers and automatically returning them without ever being touched by human hands. The stain was proof that a real-life person was within spilling distance of my work. And for me, that was about as good as it gets.
And that's true. I actually lived through that because when I was starting out to become a writer, you know, in those days you had to send in the real manuscript. And now you do it online. But when I got one back with a coffee stain, I thought, oh, it's a real person there. They're not just going there and then sending it back without looking at it, you know. So that really came out from a personal experience.
So fun. It's been so fun to have you both. Next week, another writer that we all know and love, Bob Brill, who was usually with us all the time at the Buckaroo Bookshop. He is just released like a week ago, maybe a week ago. A new thriller, 5 Seconds to Die, and it's good. I started reading last night. So join us next week for that with Bob. And we just want to say thank you to both of you for being with us and to Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison and Sam Hassan, who keeps us going even track. When there's technical challenges. Yeah. Thank you, Sam. And what else? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh, my.
Birthday.
Don't tell anybody.
You're safe with us, Jim. Yes.
We want to thank you both of you for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. As we always say,
it's always
a great day out west.
Keep writing, and we'll keep reading. See you next week.